I'm Evan Kleiman, and this is Good Food. For years, I've enjoyed the Iranian porridge, halim, made with soft wheat and turkey that are cooked into mush and topped with ghee, sugar, and cinnamon. But there are different halims all over the world. We're in the midst of Ramadan, the perfect time to talk about this dish, which is eaten in various forms throughout the Muslim world. In Hyderabad, the eighth largest city in India, it is beloved, especially during this holy month, when it becomes a staple of the nightly iftar meal. Writer Anusha Kulal is here to talk about the culinary significance of halim, which she wrote about for Eater. Hi, Anusha.
Hello. Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
So tell us about halim, what it is, what the ingredients are that you have concentrated on in this article, how it's made, what it's served with. Give us an overall view.
So for almost 20 years, I actually wasn't aware what halim was. And I think there was a friend of mine, there was a brief mention of this dish from her. And it sounded like, you know, a mix of great ingredients like wheat, and predominantly Hyderabad halim uses goat meat or lamb and a bunch of other spices. And it sounded like a good mix of ingredients. And when I did a Google search, the results weren't exactly a feast to my eyes. It was meat porridge. So I didn't have much expectations. Well, if you fast forward to 2015, June, there was an upcoming trip to Hyderabad, and my friend insisted that I try this dish because this was also around the time around Ramadan. And I remember I was outside Pizza House, and I obviously chose this restaurant because of how popular it is. And there was this man wearing a bright green shirt and handed me this bowl of halim. And my first bite into it, I just realized what I was missing out on. It was just a simple bowl of halim, because back then, while it was gaining popularity, it was still, you know, it wasn't the craze that it is now. It was simple halim topped with some caramelized onions, coriander, and also there's something called shorba, which is like a meat consomme and a slice of lemon. And this was the first time I had it, and I regretted not having it before, and I've always try to plan my trips around Ramadan so I can actually try different bowls of halim. Now the craze has spread across Hyderabad, and people actually travel to Hyderabad during the festival just to try different bowls of halim. And each year, most restaurants try to, you know, make new variations or, you know, cater to different palates and stuff like that. You can never have enough halim that you can try. There'll always be a new one.
Could you tell us about the restaurant that prepares approximately 2 tons of the dish every day during Ramadan?
Yeah, it's called Pista House. And they started in 1997. And, you know, originally they were just a regular standard restaurant famous for their biryanis and kebabs. And over time, the owners of the restaurant decided to bring halim. When they started making halim, they gained some traction, but they tried to petition for something called a GI status, which is the geographical indication status, which meant that it had to have meat-to-wheat ratio of a certain amount, and it need to have like cooked with pure ghee and a great quality goat meat, and had to be cooked over firewood. There were certain rules that it had to follow, and this played a great role in maintaining that quality of the dish. And one of the great things I would highly recommend anyone to do is actually see how they make 2 tons of this dish, which is not a small amount. And they have this temporary setup. It's like a giant cauldron, and it's fitted on top of mud or brick ovens. Everything is cooked in that one pot. It takes about 10 hours almost to do this. They're like a well-oiled machine. Someone's churning the dal, the lentils. Someone's, you know, chopping the meat, cleaning the chilies and stuff like that. And it all comes together. The most intense part of this process is the pounding of all of these ingredients into the porridge. This is what takes the longest time. And some of these people who are doing this are also fasting. So it's really commendable how the whole process comes together.
Yeah, the pounding and the mashing of the meat and the wheat together kind of forms the basis of what the mouth feel of eating halim is like. And I would imagine that one of the reasons it's so popular as an iftar meal is that it's so nourishing and comforting.
Yeah, it's quite heavy. I know people who can just have halim, and some have said that they can just have it as one meal and they can last the whole day. The meat to wheat ratio is 10 to 4, 10 being the meat and 4 being the wheat. I think these two ingredients, and also lentils, these are quite heavy on carbs. That's why if you're fasting all day, one bowl of halim is just enough.
Do we know the history and origins of halim?
Yeah. So there's a little city called Barkas in Hyderabad. And there's a reason why it's called Barkas. Because years ago, when the Nizams were ruling Hyderabad, there were a lot of Arab mercenaries who came to India and were serving the Nizams. And this little area had barracks, which was housing all the soldiers and their families. And one of the popular meals that came with the Arab mercenaries is something called haris. It is quite similar to the Iranian halim you mentioned. This meal was great for the soldiers and they would have it for breakfast. And over time, this dish was taken and people augmented it to make it more liked by the locals. And that meant adding the masalas and the ghee and the lentils and stuff like that. And it all came together. And this is how halim was born.
What is your current favorite toppings that you're seeing on halim?
Personally, I like my halim just straightforward. I do love the fried onion toppings. That's my favorite. And one of the reasons I go to the streets is not take away this stuff is because I can help myself to several servings of fried onions and, you know, a little bit of coriander and mint and lemon. But I've been seeing a trend of people also prefer the topping of chicken 65. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but it's basically chicken coated with spices and shallow fried with some curry leaves and some mustard seeds.
I love that. So it's a meat porridge garnished with more meat.
More meat, yeah, exactly.
But it can be made with a variety of other meats or ingredients, not just goat, or it can be made with no meat at all. What are some of the variations that you've seen?
You're right. Yeah. Hyderabad is predominantly Muslims, and one of their main part of the diet is beef as well. So a lot of local eateries do serve beef. And of course, there are Hindus who do not actually eat beef. Across India, the most popular meat that we consume is chicken. And so they had to make a halim with chicken. But most people lean towards the lamb halim, halim made with goat meat. It's just, I think the flavor, the gamey flavor has just adds a different seasoning to the dish. And there's also, like you said, vegetarian halim. I don't know. I'm very skeptical about that one. And yes, it's great that vegetarians can have it. But I think the flavor of this dish comes from the meat itself, slow cooking the meat.
Given that the traditional way of making the dish is cooking it over firewood, is halim something that people ever make at home, or is it something they mostly eat at restaurants and food stalls?
I think these days they do prefer going to the restaurants and stalls because even making it at home is a time-consuming process. While I was even researching for this article, I met few chefs who prefer to cook it at home. They do it in a pressure cooker as opposed to a firewood. You can, you know, control how much spice you use, how much ghee you use. And if you don't want to wait for Ramadan, so you can go to the stalls because these stalls mostly pop up during the festival. So if you want halim all year round, there are a few places that serve this, but people also, I think, would like to experiment at home.
You talked a bit about how in 2010, Haleem became the first non-vegetarian dish to earn India's geographical indication status. That must have been quite significant.
Yes, it is. So there are a few things that, you know, really, when you say a name of the place, there's always something people associate with that place. So we have Banaras silks. And we have something called Tirupati Laddu. Tirupati is a popular destination for temples. And every time someone goes there, it's the laddu they look forward to as well. So Haleem, for a non-vegetarian dish to come into this play was something really, yeah, something that brought pride to Hyderabad. It also took off since then, actually. Since 2010, that's when the popularity started to increase. It was quite an achievement.
This has been such a lovely conversation, Anusha. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure.
That was writer Anusha Kulal explaining the significance of the savory porridge Haleem and its connection to Ramadan. We'll have a link to her story about it, which she wrote for Eater, on our website. Head to kcrw.com/goodfood. If you missed any of today's show, listen at kcrw.com/goodfood or on KCRW's mobile app. You can also subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. My thanks to the Good Food team, Jillian Ferguson, Laurel Garcia, Elena Shatkin, Desmond Taylor, Nick Lamponi, PJ Shahamat, and Hope Brush. And special thanks to Chrissy Van Meter, Laura Kondarajan, and Gary Masiha. With spring in the air, I'm looking forward to making a spring vegetable lasagna. I'm Evan Kleiman, and I'll be back next week with an all-new episode of Good Food.